Welcome back to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to finish up our show here as we will get off air at 3:30. In our last segment, we're going to talk about this interesting this article Mark Schlabaugh wrote for ESPN.com. It's his post-signing day edition of the 2014 Way Too Early Top 25 is what he calls it. He's done this for the last couple of years. He puts out his Way Too Early Top 25. He puts one out immediately following the national championship game, like the next day, and then he does one following signing day. But before we do that, I wanted to talk a little bit about an interesting story I heard today. Bob Costas for NBC, a guy who broadcast sports for them, and he's over in Sochi right now calling the Olympics. He will be replaced by Matt Lauer of NBC on the for their broadcast because he had pink eye, and now he's got it in his other eye. He has pink eye in both of his eyes. I mean, just talking about some tough luck there. And the thing I was thinking about that was funny. Where does he go for that? Do you trust the Russian doctors?
No.
I don't trust the Russian water at this point, let alone the doctors or anything. I don't trust Russian doors because an American had to tear down one of those to escape his bathroom. Like, I don't trust a Russian anything if I'm over in Sochi. I mean, like,
where does he go to the doctor at?
You don't. You send him home.
you just find the you feel your way on to the next flight home because you're blind. You got pink eye in both eyes. You need to get medicated and just have someone help you get on back to the good U.S. of A. where everybody sees perfectly all the time.
And how do you get it in both eyes? Like did it like?
I guess it moves. You itch in one eye.
Can it go from one eye to the other? I didn't know it worked like that.
I guess it's very contagious.
It's a very contagious thing. So they don't want anybody by Bob Costas anyway.
The thing about pink eye is though, you don't hear about professional broadcasters getting this kind of stuff.
You get it when you go to Sochi. Like, let's send somebody to Sochi. They're probably going to get sick.
I mean, yeah,
we're going to have to quarantine him. We're going to have to quarantine Bob Costas when he comes back.
Because who knows? It may not just be pink eye. It's just maybe what they're coming out of Sochi.
During the Olympics when they were in China when they were wearing the mask or whatever.
Yeah, the smog and all that good stuff.
They didn't actually do any I don't think they thought about any kind of germs like that. I mean, but that makes you think though. I mean, kind of similar to how when everybody kind of gets sick all at the same time here on campus when you have all the out-of-state students coming back into town. Probably the same similar scenario when all these people from all over the world bring all their germs and everything, you know, to the location, this time being Sochi. So I guess it kind of makes sense as far as that goes. But we're going to get into to Mark Schlabaugh's article that I was talking about. I'm going to run down his top 25 on here. Florida State, he has at number one. They were all number one. They were at number one before in his pre-signing day article. Alabama has moved up to number two. They were I believe they weren't number two beforehand. They were actually a little. They were in the top five, but they were a little bit lower. And then they have Oregon, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Auburn is all the way down at number six. Even with the people they have coming back, and then Ohio State's at seven, Georgia's at eight, UCLA's at nine, and the Baylor Bears round out the top ten there. What are your, thoughts and opinions, really? Sort of
a gut reaction after signing day, thinking about just immediately who's coming back as of right now. I remember when this article was posted after about this time last year, number one was Ohio State, number two was Alabama, number three was Oregon, and number four, I believe, was Stanford.
Well, let me tell you something about this, though. I remember when this article came out last year, when Schlabaugh put this article out last year in his Way Too Early Top 25. In the article, he wrote that he put Ohio State ahead of Alabama, not because he thought Ohio State was a better team, because he thought that Ohio State had a better chance of going undefeated.
Well, because they did. They almost did. Yeah.
But how ridiculous is that? Rankings are supposed to be about who is the better team. Who do you
honestly
think?
This is his rankings. These aren't actual rankings.
I know, but when you do, I don't know.
You would think as a professional, when you choose a ranking, like you're talking about who's the best team.
Absolutely. When you rank a team, would you not try to put the one that you think is better above another one?
And Ohio State could have been the best team. But
he said in the article that he doesn't think Ohio State's better than Alabama. He just thinks they have a better shot of
that was his guess was that they were going to be undefeated and beat Alabama. That's what his thought was. And looking at it, I think that could have happened if this entire season went perfectly. That's what everyone expected. I remember not too long ago, before even the Iron Bowl, it was Ohio State and Alabama going to be playing for this championship, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. Turns out none of that happened. No one thought who was Florida State coming out of nowhere. Like, no one really expected him to be even in.
I mean, especially losing AJ Manuel and a lot of the NFL talent that they had. But let's talk more relevant to this season. Sorry, the 2014 season coming up. Florida State, like I said, is back at number one. Do you like them? I mean, Jameis Winston obviously is coming back, but he's not going to have the talent surrounding him at the receiver position specifically that he had this season.
I like Florida State as far as being a top five team, but I am a big believer, and I think this is relevant to someone we saw just this past year, Johnny Manziel. When someone has a year of film on you, particularly defensive coordinators in the SEC or ACC or any major conference like that, when you've got a whole year and a whole offseason to prep for somebody instead of just 1 week's worth of film, you're going to have a much better game plan the second time around against a dynamic quarterback like Johnny Manziel or Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston's numbers are going to drop, and I think Florida State's probably going to drop a game or two in the regular season. But still, a top five team, still my favorite in the ACC going forward, and with a playoff, anything could happen. So it's a very exciting thing coming back this year, going into the playoff for the first time. I mean, because you can lose a game in the regular season and not get crucified for it. So Florida State, I think you have to put them there for now, but I do believe their results on the field and Jameis Winston's numbers are going to drop a little this year.
See, one team that I'm going to look at is the number three team, which is Oregon, who's going to have another year, not just tape of somebody else, but being able to adjust to having a new coach. Mark Helfrich has another year of being the official coach of the Oregon Ducks, so he probably had a bunch of learning curves that happened this last season, so they weren't the Chip Kelly Oregon Ducks. This team is the and they have Marcus Mariota coming back.
That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing.
More so than the head coach, they have one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
But you could say the same thing about UCLA. They have Brett Hundley coming back,
which is why they're ranked in
the top 10
as well.
But I'm saying Mark Helfrich now has another season under his belt as coach, that he's going to make adjustments moving into the season that we may not have expected, so we can get back to the Chip Kelly Oregon Ducks that we've seen for the past few years that they weren't last year. And it does help having your quarterback back, so you can help the transition even more to elevate the entire game of the Oregon Ducks.
And looking at this top 25, speaking of quarterbacks, there's a trend I'm noticing. Georgia is ranked at number 8, but besides Georgia, Alabama is the only team in the top 10 that does not have their quarterback returning. There does not have a starting quarterback coming back for next season. You know, Florida State, you got Jameis Winston. Oregon, you got Marcus Mariota. I can't remember Michigan State's starting quarterback name, but I know he's coming back. Then you got, obviously, you saw what Trevor Knight did to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. He'll be back. Nick Marshall at Auburn, Braxton Miller at Ohio State. Georgia, they kind of have a head start, though, at the quarterback position with Hudson Mason starting the last two games of the season, a guy who's kind of paid his dues there. He'll be a fifth-year senior, been in the program for a while. Then you got UCLA's got their guy back, Brett Hundley. And then Baylor, his name is slipping my mind right now.
Foles.
Petty.
Bryce Petty. Petty at Baylor at one point, a Heisman Trophy contender, will be back there. So, you know, it's kind of weird to see. Typically, you don't have a team that is ranked this highly, like Alabama, when they don't even know who the quarterback is going to be there. And
well, that just shows how great the team is around. It doesn't matter what quarterback needs to come in here. They just expect us to be the second best team in the country, regardless of the quarterback.
All the other talent, which I guess kind of, which you can see where the stigma would come for Alabama quarterbacks because of all the talent. Yeah. They're already ranked second in the country in a preseason poll, and they don't even know who their starter is going to be at the quarterback position. Obviously, a lot of people think it's going to be Jacob Coker, but yesterday on Baker Layman Show, the Monday edition of the student section. They had a guest on talking about how he doesn't even think that the starting quarterback position battle will be over until end of the first game.
Yeah, I could see that, because that's what happened even when we had the great A.J. McCarron. He wasn't even named the starter till the Penn State game, which that was two games after the beginning of the season. So
that was actually the second game.
That's the second game, so it wasn't named.
But here's the thing I've kept saying and pointing this out to people. Alabama doesn't have that gimme game to start the season with this year to split snaps with. West Virginia, who has been down a little bit the last couple of years transitioning to the Big 12, they're still a formidable football program. This is still, you know, a team that, you know, has good players, and they're in a good conference. So, you know, that's not a gimme game. It's not Kent State like it was when AJ and Phillip Sims were battling for the starting quarterback position. But I did want to bring up something about Florida State, talking about them at number one. They have a very big test, and I don't think a lot of people know about this, because not very many people have actually looked ahead, unless you're an actual fan of that team, to big non-conference games next year. Florida State starts the season in Dallas at AT&T Stadium in the Cowboys Classic against Oklahoma State. That's going to be a huge game there early. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, of course, coming off a good season where they went 10-3. A lot, you know, they had a chance to go to the Fiesta.
But they have a man as a coach, though.
So, yes,
he's 40 something.
He's 40 something at least.
He's not 40 anymore. He's more into his mid 40s. Yes. But let's continue to look some more outside of the top 10. At 11, you have the Stanford Cardinal. 12, you have South Carolina. That's interesting. A team that's losing their winningest quarterback and obviously one of the most talented players in their school history with Jadeveon Clowney.
Probably a little inflated at this point.
I would think so, too. I don't like them that high. I don't like them to finish that high. I don't like them to have a fourth straight 11-win season. And then you got 13, you got LSU, who will be breaking in a new quarterback and have lost a plethora of talent on the offensive side. Wisconsin at 14. 15 is Texas A&M. I think that's a little inflated as well.
Especially, I mean, you talk about teams that lose quarterbacks. I think no team will be hurt more by losing their quarterback than A&M, just because of all the intangibles that Johnny Manziel brought to every game. It's hard. You can replace throwing yards and you can replace touchdowns, but you can't replace the little intricate escapes that he made, the way he extended plays and made something out of nothing.
And you throw Mike Evans in the
Evans, and then they lost Joku. Yeah, they lost two left tackles.
Those are three first round picks right there on your offensive side.
Exactly.
And then one of the big surprises I see on here, North Carolina at number 16. I don't know. I mean, they didn't even finish in the top 25. Larry Fedora has done a good job, but this is a team that really struggled this year big time. This is a team that was projected to finish, make a ball game, 7-8 wins. They started out the season 2-6, and that's a surprise to see them there. And one other one I want to talk about before we end the show, Notre Dame. They'll have Everett Golson coming back at the mm-hmm. quarterback position this year, and brought in another top 10 recruiting class. Now, I don't think anybody expects them to be back in the situation they were, you know, 2 years ago in the national championship game. But I do expect them to be a top 15 team this year with Golson back. I don't know what y'all's opinions are on that.
I think it definitely, with the type of ball that they played 2 years ago with Everett Golson, combined with the talent, you know, Brian Kelly's in multiple years on the job, multiple levels of high quality recruiting, or so where you're 2-3 deep at high quality recruits. So I think Notre Dame could definitely be a top 15, maybe make a run at a top 10 team because of the nature of their schedule.
I feel like they're losing a lot on the defensive end with Lewis Nix, and they've lost a couple guys the last few years that was part of the reason why they even made it to the national championship game. And I'd say this isn't the year that they're going to even make a run close. I think that's just to help some of the fans of the Notre Dame team have some hope for the season, because even with the quarterback back, I still don't think that's going to propel them to a top 15 win. But one team I'm surprised at is the UFC Knights being 24th.
UCF.
Yeah, UCF.
UFC, Ultimate UFC. Fighting Champion Knights.
Yes. The Fighting Octagons.
Well, they're head coach Dana White.
Well, they're losing both of their key offensive players, and that was an all-offensive team. As anyone watched their bowl game, they were pretty much running up and down. Their defense just got ran up and down. So I think that's surprising that they're even 24th because, yes, they have an easy conference, as everyone says. It's going to be tough for them moving forward without their two key offensive stars.
And we will definitely see as it's now – as we're now into the 240-something days till college football is back.
Baseball hasn't even started yet. How are we?
Oh, we're always on the college football countdown. It's in, here
football
in,
can
here,
happen. Here in, football just ended a week ago.
Never too early to start talking some college football. So
let's get the baseball season started. Let's go.
But that's going to be all for today's show. I'm Brooks Carter for my host, Brett Graybert, and Alex Simpson, and my producer, Andrew Clare. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday. Tune in tomorrow from 2 to 3:30 for the Wednesday edition of the Student Section. I'm Brooks Carter. Thank you. I'm the world's cat tumbling down in the city.